The contribution of Indigenous soldiers, both past and present, will be recognised in today's Anzac commemorations. The Chief of Army, Lieutenant General David Morrison, is on Thursday Island in the Torres Strait to attend services and pay tribute to Aboriginal and Islander servicemen and women. We'll speak with him later in the program. Up to 500 Indigenous people fought in World War I. During World War II, as many as 6,000 served, but they received little or no recognition on their return and in the decades to follow. Today, around half of the 51st Far North Queensland Battalion is Indigenous, the so-called Ears and Eyes of the North, they call that battalion. Well, a member of Charlie Unit from 51 FNQ Battalion is Vanessa Seakey. She's an historian and curator of the Torres Strait Heritage Museum on Horn Island. And she spoke to our reporter, Cathy Van Extel, on a mobile line from Turkey.
I think it's wonderful that Lieutenant General Morrison has been able to come and visit Thursday Island in the Torres Strait and to see the men of Charlie Company, 51 FNQR, Final Queensland Regiment. I think it's important for the recognition of Indigenous soldiers within the ADF. So it's marvellous that Lieutenant General Morrison could spend Anzac Day on Thursday Island.
You just mentioned the Far North 51st Battalion. You're a part of that.
Yes, I'm a lieutenant in Charlie Company, 51 FNQR.
How important is this battalion? I understand that it's considered the eyes and ears of the North.
It is, very much so. It's a reconnaissance unit.
Around half its members are Indigenous, but that's probably not well known in the rest of Australia.
No, it's probably not well known, but yes, most of the members of Charlie Company in particular are Torres Strait Islanders. They're all fellows from the islands, and of course utilising their local knowledge is imperative in the functions of the unit.
So how far back does it go?
Torres Strait Islanders first, well, some of them served in World War One. A few of them, about 56, saw service in World War One. People from Thursday Island. That was a mixture of Indigenous and non. And during the Second World War, the Torres Strait Islanders formed Australia's only and largest Indigenous battalion that we've ever had. It's the Torres Strait Light Infantry Battalion. 880 men volunteered. That's every man of eligible age in the Torres Strait, apart from 10. They were all serving. So if you can imagine a small country town, we've got, say, 1,000 men in the town, 990 of them volunteer. It gives you an idea of the exodus of men from the area. And, of course, it left the women and the kids on their own, so they did an enormous job without their men.
And what did this infantry battalion do? Where did they go?
They served on Thursday Island, Goods Island, Friday Island, Horn Island. There's also a patrol up through Papua New Guinea around Moroki, up through the Ellerton River area. So they did see service throughout the Torres Strait and New Guinea as well as Moroki.
You wrote that in proportion to the population, no community in Australia contributed more to the war effort in the Second World War than the islanders of the Torres Strait.
In numbers, I believe so, yes. That's an incredible contribution, and I don't think it's been matched, to my knowledge, around Australia.
Now, while so many Torres Strait Islanders were enlisted, they weren't enlisted with equal rights, were they?
No, they weren't. They volunteered, they put their hand up even though they weren't on the Commonwealth census at the time. They didn't have the right to vote at the time. They had some inequalities. They weren't allowed to drink alcohol with their non-Indigenous mates, and they couldn't be promoted above the rank of corporals, with the exception of one, Sergeant Warwick Odidi. But yeah, they did have some inequalities, especially with pay. Pay was roughly half the wage of a non-Indigenous soldier. There was no inequality amongst the men. I've interviewed over 350 non-Indigenous veterans from down south. Not one mentioned any angst, any problems within the ranks of the TSLI and other non-Indigenous units. Everyone got along famously. There was no inequality amongst the ranks.
So what was it like then for the Torres Strait Islanders when they returned? How did it change things?
Post-World War II, Torres Strait was very different to pre. Serving within the Army, the fellows had got a higher appreciation of themselves as Australian citizens. They saw themselves as being able to provide some of the training that they received during the army into the villages, which saw an improvement in hygiene, an improvement in water services, and an improvement in how the islands are run as well.
And as you say, those linkages of now with those early days in defence have remained with the current involvement.
Very much so. Military service is a very strong thread within the Torres Strait community. It's a very proud component of the Torres Strait. Every member of Charlie Company, for example, would have a family member that served during the Second World War. Indeed, we've seen Torres Strait people serve between Second World War and today. Korea, Vietnam, Indonesian confrontation, the Middle East. You've also got approximately 800 Indigenous ADF members today currently serving.
Is there a concern that they're still largely absent from the defence story, though?
I think it's improving vastly. But Torres Strait, for example, do send quite a few of its community into the ADF. I think predominantly the Navy. There's quite a few who are proudly serving today in the ADF, but I think, yeah, it is improving. And with the presence of Lieutenant General Morrison on the islands for Anzac Day this year, that'll be an enormous boost and a sense of pride for the Torres Strait community to see that the ADF sees it and wants to recognise their contribution a little bit more.
Are there many Torres Strait Islander veterans left?
To my knowledge, there's two or three out of a battalion of 880. So there's not many left today, no. No, not at all.
One fact that many people might not realise is that after Darwin, it was Horn Island in the Torres Strait that came under greatest attack from the Japanese. Why was it a military target?
Horn Island's the second most attacked location in Australia next to Darwin. It's because Horn Island was the most advanced Allied airbase the Allies had to PNG while still being in Australian waters. So the Allies could launch from Horn Island up into New Guinea on reconnaissance or attack missions and then get back in the one day. So you minimise the risk of losing planes on the ground overnight in places like Port Moresby.
Today, Horn Island and across Torres Strait, there's a lot of evidence still, isn't there, of that war history?
There is, yeah, especially on Horn Island. We conduct the In Their Steps tours on Horn, taking people to show them World War II sites on Horn. There's quite a few left on the islands. And also on Thursday, Goods and Hammond. There are a lot of people down south who've had relatives that served in the Torres Strait. It's very important for them to be able to come back and see where their grandfathers and great-uncles served, and also to see how Torres Strait Islanders and non-Indigenous soldiers were actually practicing reconciliation before we ever coined the phrase, and that was through their service in the military. And today we've undertaken a conservation project in conjunction with Torres Strait Council and TSRA, where we're doing some archaeological digs on Horn Island. And that's revealing very exciting things.
Now, I'm talking to you today from Turkey, where you're there to attend the service at Anzac Cove. Were there any Indigenous soldiers that we're aware of in that Gallipoli campaign?
I'm not aware of any Torres Strait Islanders that were at Gallipoli, although I haven't done a lot of research into that as yet. Because during World War One, it wasn't part of the form to list whether you're Indigenous or not. So there's work being undergone at the moment with the War Memorial trying to ascertain exactly the numbers of Indigenous servicemen that saw service over here.
Vanessa Seeke, thank you very much for joining us today.
No, thank you very much for having me. I hope everyone enjoys a good commemorative day for Anzac Day, wherever you are.
Torres Strait Island historian Vanessa Seeke speaking from Turkey to Cathy Van Extel. And after 7:30 this morning, our guest will be Chief of the Australian Army, Lieutenant General David Morrison, who will join us from Thursday Island in the Torres Strait.